this guy, you all know me, and we're scared as hell. He comes to me a night after I call him to bed. He's burnt up like a weenie, and his name is Fred. He wears the same hat and sweater every single day. And even if it's hot outside, he wears it anyway.
I'm looking at a tutorial on how to make your own hot sauce.
Oh, make your own hot sauce. How do you make your own hot sauce?
Hot sauce. Stupid.
Can you tell us about it?
Don't tell me anything.
First, you need peppers.
Okay.
Okay, then you're going to put all your ingredients on a plate, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the most important step.
So your peppers
are on
plate.
It looks like you've got peppers,
I know you guys
want to
start the intro, but I'm still adjusting my mic.
I don't want to start the intro.
I also think there's garlic, but this guy mentions he's got ghost chili.
I don't like when it feels forced.
Then you need to dice
ghost
it all
chili,
up.
That's Halloween.
It's a real spooky
is
chili.
Is that the spookiest pepper?
I don't like
what?
Spooky peppers,
no,
honestly.
Let him finish,
I'm more of a sweet pepper kind of guy. But then you blend it up, and then you put it in these jars like this, and then you put like a paper towel on top.
Okay.
And then at one point he
this
drained
is dumb.
It almost looks like it's coming out the back like a diaper. You see that?
I'm not going to support this.
Like wait a second. Like
I hate this.
Wait, what about
I'm
a diaper comes out
this.
Of the back?
He says you need to filter the sauce, but it looks like it's
with a diaper.
Get off the internet, you dildo.
And then you just put it in these bottles and then you put it on your food and you eat it.
That's stupid. Why were you
straight
looking at that?
A diaper, huh?
We're right before this.
You can make it jalapeno hot sauce, habanero hot sauce, or ghost chili hot sauce, depending on your preference.
Ghost chili is definitely the spookiest pepper anybody remembers.
It's not the hottest
that.
Anymore,
it's
though.
It's not the hottest? What is the
yeah,
hottest?
It's the Carolina Reaper.
Sleeper.
Carolina Reaper Sleeper.
Carolina Peeper, that's what I call my wiener.
Carolina Peeper is
how many,
what I call my wiener.
Carolina Peeper, I hardly knew her, am I right?
How many Scoville units? It's the Carolina
Reaper.
How
many Scoville units do I?
This cast is like at least 4 Snorville units.
I like that.
Oh, we don't even have one unit between the four of us in this room.
This is my unit, son.
I'm talking about peni.
Peni, the plural of penis.
Peanuts.
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 The plural of penis is peanuts.
Peanuts.
Nice.
I'm looking at three sexy boys, and I'm seeing three nice units right here.
I got a terrible unit.
Right between.
I drank too much beforehand,
and I'm getting my unit up.
I ate too little.
I wish I was fucking drunk and dead.
Happy holidays, boys. That's not my intro.
I'd like a get out of cast free card. I'd like to have that at any time when these moments arise where I just submit the card and I can walk out scot free.
You can't for this one, buddy.
I'm okay with that.
What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Horrible Podcast where we like to bring. It's looking spooky. Yes, the lights did just flicker as soon as I started my intro.
This is a disaster.
Everybody, shut up. We can make this right. Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Horrible Podcast, where we like to bring you a face value.
The Horrible Podcast.
The Horrible Podcast.
Great. Cool, guys.
I really did like when the lights flickered. That was pretty funny, though.
Keep going. This is good stuff.
Happy Halloween, everyone. What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Horrible Podcast, where we like to bring you a uniquely face value view on horror movies. This week, we're going to talk about Hocus Pocus, The Kindred, Ghost Watch. Are our three movies on deck, along with a lot of other Halloween-type stuff. But I'm Devin, here with the co-hosts. We're having a great start tonight. I didn't even think we were going to get through the intro, but we did, I hope. How you doing, Blutster? He's to my right, co-host and best friend.
For those of you not in the room, I was looking at Devin's eyes as he said that, and I saw nothing but lies and deceit in those dark pools of his. And I don't believe what you just said, it's good to be on here. I just learned about making your own hot sauce, and I'm feeling saucy. Not bossy just yet, but feeling good.
That's enough. All right, how you doing, Dylan?
I like when you cut Blooster off and said that's enough. I hope you do that more often during this cast. it's good to be here, I guess. I'm tired as shit, but it's mostly because we've been having a weird schedule with all the late night stuff we've been doing.
We have been.
Why don't you man up, Dylan? Stuff. Why don't you quit being a freak? A
lot of weird sex stuff. You should man up, though.
Man up? Okay, I'll try.
In regards to the sex stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, no, I know. I got you.
We should also man
it
up.
I received your complaints. And
you
I,
ruined
I,
my segue.
Well.
We should also man up.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Manton? How you doing, buddy?
I thought of something clever to say, and then I looked at my phone, and then I lost it. Good. So this is why you don't go on your phone during professional recordings. It's not a good idea. You shouldn't do it.
As I stare at my phone. But how you doing? How's Halloween treating you so far?
It's good, man. I was thinking today about how much, like, I fucking love October, and I love Halloween, and everything we've done so far has been amazing, and I think we'll talk about one of those things tonight. But it is a little stressful. Like, there's so much going on. We all have so much to do. Between this, our actual jobs, and then, like, decorating, doing all this other stuff.
Look,
there's a lot to do.
I would gladly quit my actual job just to professionally do October. Like, just to, to bathe in October.
So just prepare all year for October.
What's your field of expertise, sir?
Oh, October.
That's what I do.
Oh, wow, okay. There's specialized a very lucrative spooky. Hobby.
Yeah, before we get right into it, I want to remind everyone, or if you're a first-time listener, we're on Patreon, but if you're a first-time listener, don't give us your fucking money.
Or do.
Or just give
just
it.
Give us your money whatever. And leave.
But patreon.com/horriblepodcast. We got a website, by the way, horriblepodcast.com. You can get all our older episodes.
Devin, didn't you forget to say the Squarespace?
I'm on to it. Squarespace?
Yeah. Didn't we have Squarespace in there?
No, it's gone now.
Oh, what?
We have a brand new website.
How did you miss this?
It's horriblepodcast.com.
Go get out of here. How did we pay for that?
Through your beautiful, beautiful investments as listeners, we have been able to get our own website. We did say this last episode, by the way, Dylan.
I'm still excited.
Horriblepodcast.com. Get our new episodes, get our old episodes, and anything in between, which is nothing. otherwise,
there's no other content.
iTunes and Stitcher, the easiest way to get our episodes to your device. We also are on Twitter. And email.
We're on Google Play now, too.
And Google Play.
That is true.
We're on fucking everything. Just whatever. I don't even know why I say it. We're on literally everything.
Except Spotify. Don't try that.
And no Zune Marketplace.
Kazaa, ShareBear, Napster. Actually, if you fucking torrent our episodes, I'll be real happy, actually. So
there's no seeds, don't worry.
We do have some emails, and we will read them tonight. I'll actually start off with one, if that's okay with the rest of the people on this podcast.
I'm okay with it, Devin.
You're okay with it?
Yeah.
All right, it's from Mike. This one's been backloaded for a while. Ugh. Hey, you spooky, sexy cum guzzlers.
Mm-hmm. Accurate.
You know me.
Don't address us by any other way ever again, please. Happy October. Thought I would drop a line and let you know that there's a new podcast starting soon called The Darkest Night. It's a horror audio drama that is using 360-degree audio from the future.
Wait a minute, that's a thing?
360-degree audio, I guess it's like surround sound. I mean,
for
there's
your ears?
There's a term for your...
Yeah, it's diegetic, I think, right?
Now you're just saying
what you,
now words.
Now you're just saying fucking $3 words.
No, it's a binaural audio.
Ooh,
stop
binaural.
It, stop
oh,
it.
Look,
I feel like I'm
going to
get sick
binaural.
Hearing all these words.
Stop.
That's what it is.
It's 360 sure, degrees. It means if you have ears all around your head.
Yeah, how do I benefit from this?
You buy a special pair of headphones with like 90 fucking things on it.
No, you don't need that stuff.
Oh, you don't?
He just said you... Man, took that so seriously. Devin just said that you needed ears all around your head and you needed 90 headphones.
You're not on the same page.
Manton Straight Face just said, you don't need
no,
that.
You don't need that.
You truly do not.
You need ears around your head.
You need exactly
I'm getting,
two
like,
ears.
Matthew McConaughey, like, flashbacks right
Stop
now.
Stop it.
Guys.
I'm so glad you brought it up and I didn't have to.
I'm proud of Dylan for not making fun of Manton one time tonight.
Man, I really want to.
For saying Matthew
anyway,
McConaughey.
Anyway, Mike,
keep going. It's darkestnightpod.com. That sounds cool. It says the trailer they released sounds great, but don't know how the full cast will be. Are there any spooky short-time media you guys are enjoying during this fantastic month? Keep rocking the cat box. Mike.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I'm going to take that as a sultry come on, and I'm going to be aroused by it.
Okay,
what doesn't arouse you anymore, Blooster?
Well, that's a, you know what? It's an important thing, you know? But you were asking about different media, and I'm thinking about one movie we watched last
year. Can you do this without rubbing your nose in the mic?
let the man rub his nose in the mic. Continue, Blooster.
Dylan, you're the worst. See yourself out, buddy.
See yourself out.
I'm just thinking of other spooky things that, you know, extend past audio or podcast or whatever. And I'm thinking about, like, newscasts. And we watched a movie similar to this tonight. But last year we watched a movie called WNUF. And it's...
A couple years back,
it's,
I think.
I think it's been a couple years now. I'm sorry. But it's basically a movie, but it rolls out and it unfolds like a news broadcast. And so I almost consider that kind of alternate media.
That'll come up for sure later on.
When watching this one that we watched tonight, I was kind of wondering, like, what if I actually liked those Ghost Hunter shows more? Because I feel like that would be a really good way to do the
season.
But, like,
too.
I just don't enjoy those. There's just something I can't get into about them.
See, I like them. See, I'm with you. I watch these, but the ones nowadays are certainly cheesy. But then I see ones that are from like the 90s and 80s, and I'm like, that's cool to me for whatever reason.
I guess like there's that level of how much they take themselves seriously. Yeah. Like the ones now are just like, there's a paranormal event here. We have to fight.
And
like
and the main dudes are so douchey and lame.
I don't know
and that,
if it counts, but I always loved Unsolved Mysteries as a kid. It scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, that could
right.
be a good
and
one.
There's also, for example, I was going to bring up one in Japan called like, it translates to True Ghost Stories. And for whatever reason, watching that with some kind of barrier of translation, as
I
well as
helps,
like watching something in the 80s versus present day, there's some kind of barrier between me and that makes it a little more real to me and more spooky.
This one's not like audio or anything, but a shout out. I just got Junji Ito's new like, collection of horror short stories.
Yes.
And it's suddenly grisly. It's
notable
the same dude
for what? Yeah.
Uzumaki.
I wanted to bring up Uzumaki because Dylan told me about this book. I guess it's a manga, right?
It's fucking
like
gnarly, dude.
Like a graphic novel. It's so fucking good. Uzumaki is the name. Definitely check it out. And even if you don't have much interest in that sort of thing,
it's incredible.
It's insane.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about
manga. You
could
also Google Junji Ito and look at his artwork.
He's like,
it's really bizarre.
He's like the best horror artist in Japan. He's so cool.
And arguably maybe, other parts of the world too. But
the new one's not as good as some of his other stuff, but it's still worth a read. It's
you were showing me some of the pages this weekend, and like any page you flip to just looks like a nightmare.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
I love
it.
Right, but there's other podcasts out there as well. I listened to Lore last year, L-O-R-E, Lore, and that had a lot of spooky ghost stories, but anything like that to get you in the mood.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good backlog. I don't like the newer stuff so much, but the older stuff is really enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm not fully sold by the podcast, but I was able to enjoy some last year and get into the kind of spooky feeling. I love ghost stories. You love ghost stories. They're great. So if you can listen to them on podcast in any way, do it if you find a good one. But thanks for the email. With that being said, let's get right into our first movie. We'll talk about...
How did we watch these movies? That's the interesting
part.
Yeah,
we should talk about
that.
There's
a few things we should talk about. Yeah, and I'll go ahead and let somebody take that away. Dylan, would you want to talk about how we saw a lot of these movies for tonight?
Sure. So our listener, Icy Jones, a.k.a. Pat, he met us at Horror Hound when we went this past couple of, I guess like a month ago or so.
Yeah, it's been a month or two.
Yeah, and great guy. We really got to know him and really had fun with him. And he invited us to his farm, which is on... Like, I don't know if he wants me giving the address, but Orphan Lane is the address, which is
amazing. Can you give the exact address?
Yeah, the exact address. I'll give you the P.O. box and everything. No, but it was the Terror on Orphan Lane that he did, which he and his buddies put together in their barn. And it was just like a hay bales like stacked up like a throne, just like an incredible projector with like surround sound and all these snacks and a bonfire in the back and shit. It was incredible. Basically put to shame everything we've ever tried to do as an outdoor event.
We'll get there.
And it was so fucking fun. Thank you, man.
So this hot, sweet man invited us to his farm and we originally thought he was going to kill us. So we met up with him a couple times.
Still not sure that he's not going to. This is a long con.
I think it's a very long con. But... We met up with them to actually watch the movies recently, and we saw Phantasm in the theater, and we all confirmed, you know what, this guy's cool. I think we can trust him. And so we went there, and we watched all these movies until the wee hours. We got to play with his horses. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Great event. We watched a few movies there, four in total for the people who stayed throughout the night. But the first one, is Hocus Pocus, which is a Halloween favorite to many.
I can't believe we've never reviewed this.
We've never reviewed it.
Yeah.
But now is the time. So let's review Hocus Pocus. Dylan, take it away with a synopsis.
Oh, this is me. Hocus Pocus, I came a little bit late this time, so I missed the front part and haven't seen it in a bit. But if I remember right, we get like three kids, a kid, his little sister, and the girl next door or whatever that he's interested in, who go and they live in the town of Salem. They go to like an old house by Sanderson sisters? Is that right?
The Sanderson sisters.
Sanderson sisters, who were witches who I guess were killed in the trials or whatever and placed a curse. They go in there and are kind of like baited on by a talking cat named Thackeray Binks, who is somebody who was wronged by the witches long ago. And a virgin lights the candle. I'll let you guys figure out who that is if you haven't seen the movie.
It's me.
It's Blitzer. He lights the candle. And that summons the witches, played by Bette Midler, Kathy Najimy, and Sarah Jessica Parker, who are just fucking chewing up scenery and having a good old time running through this town and trying to catch these kids as they enjoy Halloween festivities. And the kids try to convince the adults that, no, these are actually fucking witches that are trying to come after them. And that's Hocus Pocus.
It kind of reminded me of Paranorman a little bit, because it's like the lore.
It is very similar, yeah.
It's like the lore of the town. Everybody knows, right. Oh, yeah, the Sanderson sisters, their house is a historic site now, blah, blah, blah. If you light the Black Flame candle and you're a virgin, lol, it might reignite them and they might come back to life. And so I guess he was just doing it as like a prank or whatever. He was going mm-hmm. there on like a dare or something, and he goes and lights the Black Flame candle, and sure enough, the witches come back. I don't know, man. I told you all, I think it was last cast, actually, but this is a movie I've seen almost
every... Yeah, you recommended it.
For one of my favorite Halloween movies, but I've seen it almost every year since I was a little kid, and I was worried this year I wasn't going to have time, and then sure enough, it was just fate. Patrick played it for us at his Barnyard event.
I think he played it in the right way to do this one, too, and that he, like, did this as the first opening movie that, like, while right. the kids were still there and, like, things were getting, you know, kind of like PG, let's warm into things yes, a little bit. Like, right. it's a really good movie for that. Like, it's a crowd pleaser, and... to the point where, like, everybody fucking loves this movie. I'd be surprised if nobody had actually seen this who was listening.
Well, I know Devin kind of mentioned last cast he wasn't, like, a huge fan of this movie, but, like, even now, like, for me, I think it's funny that it was the first movie we watched, but also it's, like, one of the first movies I remember watching as a kid.
Sure.
That was, like, Halloween-esque, I guess. And even to this day, I'm still, like, smiling as I watch it. It's really fun and just, I don't know, kind of... sends up the season.
I could be mistaken, but I think Devin actually hadn't seen it until
this the first
viewing,
full
right?
time.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it in my childhood, but I don't remember much sure. about it. And then I've seen bits and pieces over the last 15, 20 years.
I just remember we were talking well. About like the last time that we'd seen it, you were just coming out in the middle of the movie and we were watching the marathon.
Yeah. I was never too into the it, but watching it now, I did enjoy it, and I did kind of like, I don't know, eat up the Halloween essence.
It's
of
a
it.
Fun movie.
There's a lot of that in it. There's a lot of really great like Halloween moments. One of my favorite parts of the movie is when they, like, for whatever reason, the witches are sort of played like super hammy. Like they just not only don't understand, right? Yeah. They don't understand like modern stuff, but they're also just really stupid. And there's a great scene where there's like a guy dressed up as the devil, and they're like, "Oh, it's our scene. Dark Lord, it's Satan. Satan's here." And it's a whole great scene where they're like talking to him like he's actually Satan. This old man is just eating it up. That these you know young ladies are want to give him their attention.
It's so funny that it you know happens like directly on Halloween, because like they think they don't know what's going on, and everyone else just thinks they're you know hamming it up as these witches. So like they blend in, it's
right, and Halloween is like a scary time in their world, but then they come and see that it's just kids you know everywhere trying to get candy, and nobody really you know it's sacrilege basically.
Yeah, they start to get upset. They're like, these people, they don't fear us anymore.
Well, right. And I love like their interactions with the modern world and how they like they react to everything is really fun for me. The scene with the bus where they're talking to the bus driver. I love the scene where they switch out their brooms for other utensils.
Okay. It's just great. I wanted to talk about that scene, like that I think that really like epitomizes like the humor of the movie, and I think that as a kid like I kind of just took that for granted, but I think it's like the moment when she like comes flying out of the door with the vacuum instead of the broom.
Yes.
We all just lost it, and it's such great. A simple goof.
It's
and
a really it's good like, sight gag.
And you kind of like you remember seeing that as a kid, but as an adult, you could kind of appreciate that sort of humor.
Yeah, the whole movie I was watching, I was waiting for that scene because I was like, when she can ride the friggin' vacuum, dude.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a good little moment because there's lots of like weird gags and like physical humor and stuff and like timing, and I think that scene just kind of nailed it.
It's you were mentioning Blooster while we were watching this one. You were like, there aren't as many good kids movies anymore. At least the ones that like stand the test of time, and this one I think does. The reason this one resonates with people is because they remember seeing it as kids, and I didn't. Like I hadn't seen this one until like a couple years back when we watched it, but it still rings true for those people and for me, like even as an adult, because there's still good humor in there that works for that's targeted not just at kids. This isn't like The Witches where you just have a whole bunch of people you know farting and falling down and
dude
like,
this movie makes the witches look like I just,
there is literally no reason to watch
it,
the witches
it
with
blows
the, when this
my
movie exists.
Fucking mind that the witches has like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm guessing Hocus Pocus doesn't, but I'm like, this movie is pure fun, and The Witches is like it makes The Witches
tedious.
Look like a pet rock, like compared to like a happy puppy. Like
I think it's because The Witches like specifically was trying to pander to just young kids, and so if you're not literally in that age group, you just can't appreciate it. And
but
this
even
movie,
that age group would love Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, exactly.
So much
but
more.
The difference is that Hocus Pocus is just trying to be you know an all around good movie. It has good writing,
right.
good great acting with our three main witches, and like all around, it's enjoyable by anybody because it's simple.
When something like The Witches does that, that's like tantamount to torture, like because I can't imagine what it's like to be a parent who has to take their kid to see that movie, and you get fucked fucking nothing
right,
out of it.
You dread it.
Whereas this one, like, you take your kid to see it, you're going to have a good time too.
Yeah,
like, there's
sure.
there's stuff there for you.
Yeah, there's like a, there's a legit adult humor.
Yeah,
throughout
there really
it,
is.
That yeah. you know, they mentioned what yabos and.
Oh yeah, no, that was
there's some
funny,
there's
yeah.
some sexual humor.
And the scene with the parents dancing is hilarious.
I love yeah.
I love it. The musical number that pops up in it, like
yeah,
it is. It's there's really good stuff.
Might be idle hands a little bit, but
a little bit. Yeah,
well, similar time period too.
There was a there's like a running gag constantly. Like I was surprised how often they do this, but everybody's just like, yeah, kid, you look like a virgin.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Dude, I forgot about that. They were like,
they're razzing the shit out of
him. They were making this kid regret ever lighting that damn
funny.
Candle.
Even to the very last moment. He's so tired of it. And like, by the end of the movie, every time like the viewer comes up, he's just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
And it's funny, yeah.
Hard to review a classic like this because everybody who's listening knows.
You've seen it.
Yeah, you've seen it.
You
know
this movie.
In and out. So I don't know how I can even add to that conversation.
We got to mention the elephant in the room, and I mean it in the best way possible, is Bette Midler. Like, this woman fucking steals the show.
Yeah,
like,
she's magnetic in this
she
movie.
Is incredible in this movie. And I remember reading something somewhere where she was like, if I could just play this role for the rest of my life, I'd be happy. Like, this was her favorite thing to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I believe
and
you can
it
believe
totally,
it. Yeah,
totally fucking shows because she is having such a good time.
I was shocked to see how young she looked too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, I mean, it's granted a long time ago, but she looks old as fuck now. But it did come out, what, 25 years
yeah.
ago almost?
Yeah, yeah. It's Sarah Jessica Parker at her babeliest, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
Mamma Mia.
I remember. I don't remember much about this from my child, except I do remember playing the game on DOS and like Windows 3.1, Hocus Pocus from '94 or
yeah,
something
you
like
talked
that.
About that.
And little fucking 2D sprites of these witches on vacuums flying around.
I bet it scared the shit out of you too.
It's too spooky.
Real. It wasn't scary. It was goofy.
No,
I wasn't scared. No,
I was a big man.
Oh, I got my shit scared from old fucking DOS games, but not that one.
Yeah,
that
whatever. You're virgin.
Here we go. Nice.
I also want to bring up the fact that the movie looks good still. Like
yeah,
the effects in this are, they didn't have to be good because this is a movie for kids from like what, 93?
Is
like,
it just me
yeah.
or did the talking cat like look
looks
good?
Fucking good? Yeah, I
was very rarely was
I was surprised.
Right?
I
don't
guess
know.
It is. I don't know.
It might have been the fact that we were watching it on a projector, but I legitimately
sure.
couldn't tell if it was CG.
Oh, it was CG. It looked a little silly to me.
A little bit, but like it's pretty seamless for the time.
Right.
Like,
it reminded me of Salem yeah. from that witch show.
Oh, Sabrina.
Even
yeah.
had almost
yeah.
the same voice.
Yeah.
Too. Very similar.
Yeah, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I think they used a lot of little tricks with the cat. Like, a lot of times
yeah,
he was
sure.
walking away.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
they would have him run off screen and then talk. Like,
sure.
they kind of worked
it.
Around
it's
it.
It's smart filmmaking. Yeah. Like, it's a well-made movie.
It is. And I think that's why it's pretty much a classic nowadays, and we can go and wrap it up on that.
Yeah.
Manton, give us your review.
Yeah, this movie is a lot of fun. I think that, you know, if you're the biggest horror hound and you love all the crazy gore and shit, you'll still have a good time with this movie. If you don't like horror, you're still gonna like this movie
yeah.
because it's just captures the fun and the magic of Halloween. There's like different characters at different ages, and there's always kind of someone you can identify with in this movie, I feel like. And I've seen this movie 100 times, and I still watching it in the barn, kind of like watching all the like people around us and the kids like enjoying this movie. It was a really fun experience, and I would wholeheartedly recommend this movie to pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
It's a
what
gem.
What do you think, Bleacher? That's a gem.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've talked about this before, and I'm going to gush about it now, but obviously, I think this movie is great, and I don't think I could fault it at all. I mean, I feel like in this day and age, we were almost spoiled for, like, good kids' movies that can also send up to adults, like... Pixar really, really brought it forward with like animated movies and things like that. But
even DreamWorks is doing it now too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's definitely an art form, but I think this movie mastered it many decades ago. And I think that this movie is so, so good. And even now, I was watching it in this barn. I was freezing my butt off, and I had driven, you know, a long time to get there, but I was just smiling the whole time I was watching it. And the environment we were in with like people of all ages is exactly how I imagine this movie. Mm-hmm. Everybody enjoys it to some extent. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're looking for like what kind of, you know, horror fanatic you are, I think there's something to enjoy, and I think it just makes me feel Halloween when I watch it. I just love this movie so much, so I'm gonna keep watching it every year, as I have been since I was a kid. Love it.
Yeah. Jim,
absolutely, dude.
Yeah, game. I'm gonna give it a Jim too. It doesn't strike nostalgia as hard with a lot of people in my age group, but I do like it, and I did kind of feel the Halloweeny vibes, and it made me pretty happy watching it. Not as shot in the head as most people with it, but it's a fun movie, and I can't really fault it for that. So I give it a gem as well. What do you think, Dylan?
Yeah, I mean, this one, it would be hip and easy to hate it, but, like, this movie is just so goddamn enjoyable. And it's that one that, you know, like, everybody has a Hocus Pocus Halloween party. Like, I mean, one of our friends is doing that this year. And, like, I could say, oh, that's the best you could come up with. Why isn't it Cabinet of Dr. Caligari? But, like, there's a reason, because this movie is a movie that literally anybody can love. And it makes it very easy to love, because it's just a really enjoyable movie. It's a blast to watch. It's very Halloween-y, even though last time when we gave our Halloween recommendations, I said Trick or Treat is the best one. It's maybe not the best one for everybody, because it's, you know, hard R. Whereas this one, you can pop it on and please an entire crowd of made up of anybody. It's a great movie. It's a total gem.
Both really good in different regards, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. We got another email to get to. That's four gems for Hocus Pocus, of course. But I do want to get this email. It's been backloaded for a while. And again, anybody who is out there sending emails, we will get to them. It's taken us a little bit to get through all of them. But here's one.
It's a busy month.
It is a busy month. We got a lot to get through, even this episode. But this is from... Josh, whatever his name is, Myers. We'll get to that towards the end. But on the Stranger Things cast, which was a few weeks ago, we talked about Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. You were discussing remakes that you thought were better than the original. You covered a few that I was already thinking, but I thought of one you didn't mention, and that would be the 1990 remake of Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Can't be much worse than the original if you're me.
Jesus. Devin and I notoriously hated that movie.
I think you'd like it, Devin.
It's gorier, for sure.
We had a bad good episode where me and Bluester were pretty hard on that one, the original. But anyway, Tom Savini's effects are a major improvement on the pasty clown maker of the original. Barbara actually becoming a self-realized ass-kicker as opposed to a simpering couch jockey is a nice change.
I really like that change. I'm not a big fan of the movie overall, but that's one of my favorite things about it.
And last but not least, Tony motherfucking Todd. That's right. Plus, I'll say it, Romero lost his edge a very long time ago and has been slowly spiraling around the toilet drain ever since.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, dude. Yeah.
Blasphemy, you say? I guess we don't so far.
No, not at all.
You are kind of a prick, you think? Okay, sure. You are probably right, but first take an honest look at literally anything he has produced in the last 20 years or so.
Yeah, dude, it's not good.
Then get back to me. Pro tip, start with Diary of the Dead. Yeah, that one's
diarrhea.
I saw that at UofL's like theater thing that they do every once in a while.
Is that the found footage one?
It's fucking garbage. Really bad. It's hot trash.
Even Man, Land of the Dead is not a good movie. And it's okay. Day of the Dead is like screechy and unpleasant.
It's not great. Well, I like Day of the Dead.
But he said, oddly enough, the remake is the first zombie film I ever saw. So maybe that's why it kind of warms the cockles. Cockles of me, blackened heart, to reminisce about it. You're making me read this email very difficult.
He's getting hot over
warms
here. He's
the
getting
cockles
red.
Of me, old black heart.
Work in the cockles of me, old black heart.
I know you guys mostly hated the original, but what did you think about the remake? Josh, Tasty Cake, Myers in this one. And you kind of heard it. Yeah, me and Bluester were the ones that really didn't like the original. I think Dylan kind of liked it a lot.
I remember us arguing with Dylan a lot on that cast.
That one was more Devil's Advocate than anything, because, like, in retrospect, I'll say...
You mean
like,
Devin's
is,
Advocate, by the
sure,
way?
Sure, yeah, Devin's Advocate. Yeah, but it was me, Dylan. That's just me, Dylan.
Well, it's me, Dylan.
It's me, Dylan.
He's
but,
Dylan, nice.
In any case, like, I was kind of coming to its defense more based on the fact that, like, they were just ruthlessly tearing it apart, and it's got its merits. It's not a super enjoyable movie these days, but it's...
I think we've all kind of, met in the middle with that as well, because I would agree. Like, maybe I was being a little bit too aggressive on it, but
like I'll say I only saw the 90 one, the remake, like a long time ago when I was starting to get into zombie movies, and I wasn't impressed with it then because I was like sucking the dick of Night of the Living Dead, the original, and I was like, well, it's not that, so it can't be. I need to revisit it for sure. I do remember liking parts of it.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
It's one that we should definitely check out. I think you guys would both like it more than the original.
There's no question.
I'm pretty sure. It has that Tom Savini touch to it, and you know, there's a lot of that sort of stuff. I don't remember a whole lot about it either, so I think we should definitely review that.
It's time for a refresher.
That's an interesting thing to bring up about that movie. I mean, that was one that I guess we were all giving our... That was at the beginning of the podcast, and I was being very honest with my face value kind of like reviews.
And now you've become dishonest.
Because that was the whole thing. I was like, if I'm being completely face value, this movie is fucking boring.
George Romero now gives us money on Patreon, so we can't say anything bad about
him. I'm so sorry.
We love you, George. Well, I was going to say, like, it is really hard to, like, when we say face value, we really do try to mean it, because it's hard to go into a movie that's this legendary and this regarded and
shit on it.
Try to strip away all that stuff and actually just look at it for what you're watching.
And also, when you see a bunch of other classic movies in between, like, then and now, your face value changes based on what you know as far as the genre goes.
Right, exactly.
So back then, I mean, I would still give it a stinker, 100%. That movie bored the goddamn shit out of me, but I would probably find a little bit more of a respect to it. But yeah.
You're going soft, well, Evan.
I think something else to remember, too, is that they really meant that. Like, when we made that episode, we definitely, especially being a new podcast, we really kind of worried. We were like, we just shit on a classic, and like, is this gonna like, are we gonna have a podcast?
Dude, now we'll shit on movies you send us to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
we don't
but
care.
I think that it speaks that, you know, to our what we try to do here, which is that like, we're always gonna give like a face value view. Like, that is just what we do.
And you know what?
The face value changes.
Manton, you couldn't have given a better segue to what we're gonna bring up later. But we do have an email from a loyal listener in Be Twisted, where he brings that up. Like, he
fucking bring it on.
He loves the podcast, and we love him to death, but he's we shat on, at least I did, I'll speak for myself.
B-Twisted's rant against The Thing made me like, made my piss boil. Yeah. It made my heart
in his
curdle.
Defense, we say shit like me shitting on the entire Friday the 13th franchise is insane.
Don't get me wrong, buddy, you've earned every bit of like being able to do that. Still don't see eye to eye with you on Fourth Kind,
right? But yeah, we're gonna get to that email later, and again, I understand I'm in the minority in this, but that's the beauty of the horror genre. You disagree, you agree.
It's the reason we have a podcast.
It's right, a very exactly. fickle genre, and that's the reason. Yeah, you can still you like the podcast whether you listen to our shitty opinions or not. Because half the time, I will admit that my opinion is probably shitty in certain areas.
Oh, I'll admit it too. Yeah, it is. It's garbage. Yeah,
so, I won't admit that.
All right. Anyway, before we move quite on, I want to do a shout out to another loyal listener, Matthew Whisker, who sent us an incredible care package.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just say that it's he sent it to our house, Matt and I's house, and it was like Christmas when I came home and they were just propped up delicately on the door. I was like, "Ooh boy!"
I also want to say this is the guy that like 20 minutes ago was stroking one of the packages.
Matthew Whisker
like,
or him, Blister.
Well, if Matthew was here, I would have been stroking him.
Blister had the cylindrical like package.
He was
just stroking.
He was doing
it
like he was trying
straight.
To get our attention, and then once we gave him his attention, he just went even raunchier with it. Like,
I was trying to get the top to pop off. You know what I'm saying?
It was stapled down to. He was trying to get the top to pop off the poster.
I did it
package,
so furiously.
Like a,
I
like
even
a
popped
penis
the...
coming.
What?
Wait, what?
Yeah, is that not what you were trying to
That's,
do?
You guys got it all wrong. You guys, you don't understand me at all.
Oh yeah.
Let's talk more about what was inside the package rather than the whole jerk off.
Yeah, tell us about
thing.
Your package, Blooster.
But yeah, Blooster, Manton, Dylan, anybody want to butt in and talk about what we got from Mr. Matthew Whisker?
We'll
start with the candy.
Cool shit, yeah.
Well, okay, so I want to start out by how we got it, okay? So when we first opened the main box, there's two packages, right? And I just want to say these were lovingly packed. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
The very first one is near and dear to my heart. It was a leather-face t-shirt with skull and crossbones and Texas in the back.
Hell yeah.
God, hell yeah.
And it gets me horny, and it's just the right size, and I was telling the guys we should all share it each week.
Yeah, we're going to have to share custody of this thing. There's
absolutely.
No way around it.
Joint custody. The next thing that came out was a Monstro Bizarro, and I think Manton and Dylan, you guys seem like maybe you're familiar with
it. It's a magazine all about cryptids. It's tight as hell.
It's almost like a like an encyclopedia of, yeah, just like spooky monsters.
I can't
and
wait
stuff.
To delve into that.
It seems really cool.
My personal favorite, what we got, and I had been talking to him in, via private message for a while, is Campfire Tales on DVD, the late 90s anthology that is just perfectly Halloween-y, which I'm going to try to steal tonight. I gotta talk to the castmates, but I want to try to watch
it's
that.
It's not really
tonight.
Stealing if you tell us ahead of time.
I'm stealing it.
Okay.
Oh, just tell me I'm stealing it. It
no,
sounds cooler.
No, you can steal it. You stole it.
But I do want to watch that before October ends.
Definitely.
Because it's a very perfectly Halloween-y movie. So that was my personal favorite. But there's also a lot of other great things too. Like Manton that was really into one of the decorations we got.
Oh
out
yeah,
of that
we
package.
Got a pretty sweet red rum key hook.
Fuck yeah!
I feel like he made this for me because it's got Reese's and shining
it's
stuff.
It's not just for you.
Are we having another custody battle
right
now?
It's not just
me.
For you.
We're gonna have a custody battle.
It's like he gave us like a breakout of the red rum door with like little hooks on
here. It looks so
here.
Fucking cool.
It's really it's cool. It's also sweet. Very sturdy. So if Jack Nicholson ever tries to break in, we can just bludgeon him with this thing.
Nice.
I want to give a big shout out to the food that we got. We got popcorn seasoning for our popcorn needs.
Yes.
And a bag of candy. And boy, does he know his candy. Because, my man, you found the best bag of candy.
Yep.
You found all Reese's
it's all,
everything.
It's literally called Reese's Lovers.
We probably must,
and I
we
just started, like,
mentioned
tearing
on that
up.
That we like
I guess, yeah, I think somebody asked us our favorite candy at one point. And the fact that you remember that,
yeah,
I want to reach through this podcast and kiss you.
And by the way,
I want to kiss you.
If it's poisoned, then this is the evidence.
Well, I mean, that
wouldn't
fine
go
for me.
Any other way. I mean,
honestly,
this is
well, who's going to edit the episode then?
Ooh. Then who edited the episode?
Ooh. Anyway. He says, happy holidays, boys. Decided to send you an October care package for all your hard work. and being consistently mediocre every week.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So
that.
Sweet.
Very true.
Enjoy the goodies in the film, and most of all, enjoy this beautiful month, Whisker.
Fuck yes, man.
It was so good. So sweet, man. Thank you for the note. We really appreciate it. But there's one thing we forgot. The he gave us the thing that I was stroking
yes,
was a massive, beautiful, long poster.
Phallic. Very phallic.
What are you talking about? A poster of all the famous spooky horror villains. You had Hellraiser on there. You had Leatherface. You
had Jason.
You had titular Hellraiser.
Mr. Smellraiser. Mr. Hellraiser. And it was awesome. It almost looks like hand-drawn. We were like wondering if Matthew Whisker drew it.
Dude, if you did... Whoa.
All our favorite murders, we had Halloween, we had Mr. Hellraiser, we had Mr. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mr. Texas.
Mr. Texas.
Halloween is so scary, especially when he takes his mask off.
He's so scary. Oh.
But no, man, thank you so much for the package.
It's great, man.
Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Bluester loves his packages. Let's move on to the next movie, and that's going to be The Kindred, which I had heard about very long ago.
I've never got around to watching it,
and that was a very fun surprise to see at our barn viewing, which will hopefully be an annual barn viewing, hint, hint, wink, wink, Mr. Pat.
I would hope that it works, man, because it was so much fun this
year.
We'd
be back.
When he said that it was partially inspired by our talks about our woods event, I just almost brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, I went half-mast immediately.
Just so I almost cried. You got an erection.
As far as I can get it, so.
No, for sure. That was very sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Kindred, which was a very interesting late 80s film, although it was grainy as fuck. I think it was a perfect style like copy of it, which was beautiful to see. I'm going to give this one over to Blutster if he can possibly recall the insanity that was The Kindred in its synopsis. What was it about?
I can. Well, I mean, speaking of length, this movie has got me excited, and I'm very
excited
to talk
about
nobody
length,
said
by
length.
The way.
Nobody said length.
I know what's on your mind.
So, The Kindred, this is a movie that I personally had never heard of, and so I didn't know
Me neither.
I didn't know what to get or what I was going to expect, you know? But at the very beginning, we have a horrific car crash, and we see that...
It was hilarious.
Okay, it was
so funny.
Somebody was building a house in the middle of the highway.
It was like really shitty road rage, and this guy tried to pass someone and somehow ran into a house. I don't know.
It was amazing.
It was tight. So yes, funny car accident. A guy gets into a wreck, and as the paramedics are trying to take him away, they crash, and someone takes the body, and he runs, and we learn very quickly that there is like a mad scientist, and he needs these not quite dead but nearly dead people to maybe do some experiments on. So there's a little bit of mystery going on there. We fast forward a little bit, and we shoot over to our famous scientist man. I can't remember his name.
Scientist man.
Mm-hmm. And so his mother is very sick, and he just found out that she came out of a coma or some kind of sleep she was in. He goes to her, and she says, "Scientist man, I need you to destroy all of my experiments. Go to my home and destroy everything." He's like, "Wait, I thought you haven't been experimenting for years." And she says, "I definitely have been experimenting, and it is dank in there." And she says, "You need to destroy all my journals. Oh, yeah, by the way, you have a secret brother named Anthony, and you need to destroy him." And he's like, "What? I have a brother?" So he immediately assembles all of his doctor buddies. And he says, "Listen, guys, we're going to go to my mom's house, and we're going to organize all of her notes, and we're going to try and make sense of what she's talking about. But mostly, it's a selfish desire to find out, does he have a brother named Anthony?" They go to the house, and a mysterious woman appears at his mother's funeral when she passes away recently. And so we find out that this lady maybe has some ulterior motives, but all the while in this house, some crazy shit's going on in the basement. It's pretty cool.
Now, I do have to say that it's not all the while, because when you said that they go there to, go through her notes and everything, I didn't really expect it, but the movie, they just kind of go through her notes for a while.
It's a little slow, definitely.
And I have to, first off admit that I did fall asleep at one point in this.
I did as well.
Partially because I was so goddamn comfortable in this massive bale of hay thrones that that Pat had set up for us. And, even the hay sticking into my neck, which I'm still pulling out even to this day.
Oh, we have a blanket out there covering hay. It's hay blanket.
I just kind of got to the point where I was like, this is too comfortable. And I passed out during the middle of it. I did wake up for the end, though, and that's the part that matters.
I don't want you to hear that this movie's boring.
I don't want you to hear that either.
Because it's not.
I'm just trying to get everything on the table here.
They pepper in some insane stuff.
Well, you know
what?
I'm
going to
pepper in that I will say this movie is a little boring.
No.
It very much is. And I'm not going to completely stop with that, but throughout the first two acts, I think the movie is quite slow. And there are some cool things that were peppered in, but
they do pepper some stuff.
Sparingly. Very sparingly. And I'm saying this as a guy who stayed awake through the whole movie.
I was awake too, yeah.
Okay, so I was awake during the whole movie, and there were many times where I was kind of getting up, getting a beer, or getting up, smoking a cigarette outside. And then every now and then I'd look back and hear like a sound cue, like, oh, cool, that's
what woke me up,
that's
was a creepy people slug. Screaming, and I saw
but
the good
that
parts.
Was very, that was done very sparingly, and then, I don't want to discredit completely, the third act is awesome.
Dude, the third
and
act is third fucking act
is
balls
bonkers,
to the wall.
But like any good movie, you can't just wait till the very third act for that to happen. It's
that
not,
that
it's
is
not,
a big chop.
Yeah.
No, Brandon, you go.
I
was
going to
go
God damn it,
buddy.
Just
I was just
going
to
I'm
I was just
going
to comment.
No, Manton.
On...
No, Manton.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about one aspect of this movie that interested me. The cover of this movie, the cover that you typically see with this,
very cool.
is like a baby bottle with like a weird grotesque monster.
So sick.
And every other alternate cover is all very like, you guys remember what was that movie that had the weird monsters in that kid's basement? And at the end of the movie,
Deadly Spawn.
Yeah, it looks very Deadly Spawn. It looks very like hammy, schlocky, like B movie trash. So when we first started this movie, I looked it up and I was looking at the covers and stuff. I was like, oh, we're in for something like that. This movie is nothing like what
really
you
isn't.
Would be led to believe by the covers, by the description, everything like that.
Until the end.
It you know, like, it has some of those, like,
it does.
Really
it,
cheesy, like, B-movie monster effects, but this movie takes itself very seriously.
Yeah.
Like,
it's trying very hard,
This movie, it has, like, it definitely has that feeling that when you watch movies like that, where it's, like, very, very low budget, the actors are, like, laughably bad, but it's not like a so bad it's good movie.
I wouldn't even say they're that bad. I think
I think our main guy is really like very stale.
Yeah, he's
very,
not. He's
everybody's
not very
whenever
quite
he delivers
stale.
His lines, you're just like, okay, buddy. We
basically what I'm getting at here is that this movie is nothing like I expected based on the picture or even just the intro.
I had no expectations because like I purposely this is the rare occasion where it's a movie I've heard nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as like The Kindred came on screen,
and that's
I was
the way
like,
you should
go fuck yeah, it. I'm not touching my phone. I don't want to look at IMDb. Like I want to see what's going on here. But you know, from a perfectly face value standpoint, like it put me to sleep at a certain point. And that's, I think, partially because of the tone that this does choose, where the effects are so fucking cool. And like the idea behind it is like gnarly B movie shit. And yet somehow they play it very straight. And it's just kind of like a family drama for a bit. And I'm like, what's going on? Why do I care?
I think it's, I mean, I'll definitely concede that it's slow. But I think it's because they were trying to do a lot. Like they had a very like,
more than they needed.
They should have done more in the beginning.
Yeah, they did. But like they had a very like, I guess, kind of rich story that they were trying to flesh out.
Right.
And there's all these character interactions, like this guy's fiance or his girlfriend, she's jealous, whatever. But they don't know how to like contain all that, keep it interesting, keep it moving.
They have like three too many characters. Like there are plot threads in here that never get resolved, at least as far as I could tell.
True. Yeah, there was one thing I wanted to ask you guys about because I
the dude
I
in the ambulance?
Well,
the guy who crashes the ambulance?
Who
the fuck
the
was
guy,
that?
Yeah, what the fuck is the guy that dies?
Whoa. Wait, hold on.
Well, okay, first off, like when the guy crashes into the building, who the fuck was that?
None of that matters.
Which building?
Oh, it doesn't matter because we see that he's his body, right? So the scientist that uses the body parts,
yeah,
we see like someone else go into his lab and die, but because there's monsters in his lab, and that's never really
okay.
Back.
So
they don't do anything with that.
What they're talking about is at the very beginning, an ambulance driver is being paid to deliver these bodies.
Yeah.
He goes to the mad scientist because he realizes that he's worth more. He's like, I want more money.
Okay.
And the mad scientist guy says, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll give you some extra money.
Yeah.
And he's obviously experimenting and raising dead people, so he throws them to them to be eaten.
But does anything happen to the guy who actually like crashed the ambulance?
That was him.
No, there's another guy too. Like there's a taller guy.
That guy died.
He doesn't say what?
He died in the car crash. Pretty
no.
sure.
The thing though. There are plot threads in here that are just indecipherable. Like they don't do anything.
I don't remember.
It is a bit confusing in parts. And like Brandon said, like this movie does. There's a lot of movies that we talk about where we're like, oh, they need more characterization and this and that. This movie does have that. To its credit, like this movie does have
interesting. And it's pretty good for the most part.
Right. But like they said, also like this movie does have lulls in the middle. And that is kind of where I think Dylan and I started dozing off, which is a shame because like I think that this movie is so close to being like a hidden gem.
Oh, this movie reminds me so much, and I kept talking about it throughout it to the people next to me as I was watching it, of one of my all-time favorites despite its flaws, and that is the Japanese Evil Dead Trap.
There's a lot of similarities there, actually.
It takes so long to get to that third act, and...
It's a lot less rapey, I'll say that.
There's some terrible rapey things in it that really does fault it. But to Evil Dead Trap's credit, the first couple acts has some insane, awesome like slasher vibes to it, like some very different vibes that you don't expect, and then turns into the.
It takes a weird third.
And then the third act turns into what the Kindred's third act is. So I'm entertained the entire time.
I basically
time.
Got that this is kind of the vibe between Evil Dead Trap's a really good connection there, and I also was thinking of the Deadly Spawn through most of it.
Right, right.
Just by virtue of kind of how this thing works. Like, it's a gross, like, credit, man. Do the monsters in this thing.
They're great looking.
They look fucking great, and they look disgusting. Like, yeah. Some of the effects in this are just fucking revolting.
There's a great scene where one of a character turns into, I guess, a mer-person.
That's what I woke up for, and I was like,
and
holy fuck.
It looks legitimately fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's horrifying too. Like, the way that it's shot is like confusing and like spastic, but like in a way that makes it like it's supposed to feel that way. I don't know. It's a well shot scene in a movie that like is kind of all over the place in terms of how it's shot and how it's acted. And then those moments where it counts though, like the money shots near the end, man. This movie pays back dividends. Like, the third act is fucking raw.
It pays back dividends, but the dividends don't quite amount to what I think I was owed from watching the first two acts. I will say that. But this movie does remind me of a lot of movies from the 80s that were kind of forgotten, certain whatever, such as like The Mutilator or whatever, that there in the scenario we watched them in, it's going to push me just over the edge into Jim territory, because I was watching this gritty, grainy, late 80s like movie under the radar in a fucking barn with on a haystack. That's great.
There's something amazing to be said for seeing a movie you know nothing about and
right.
being surprised
and again,
by it.
Yeah, and I had heard of it and I'd seen trailers from the past, but I really didn't know much about it, like you said, Dylan, and I didn't check IMDb after it came on. I wanted to be completely surprised, and that worked. That makes it hard for me, though, to recommend it to you sitting in your comfort of your own home.
This one is tough to objectively
with friends,
touch, yeah.
And then watch, because it was, and I'm watching in the arguably the best situation and scenario I could possibly watch a movie, in a horror movie at least, in October, in a barn, with a big screen, with my friends, with alcohol, with cigarettes, and still it was boring at a lot of it. So if you're sitting in the comfort of your home by yourself, it's hard for me to recommend. And I'll go into my review. Is that all right? Is that too soon? Yeah,
that sounds like it was your review.
Yeah.
Dude.
So like for me in that scenario, and God bless you, Pat, for putting that on, because that was very a movie that I don't regret watching by any means, but it also makes it very hard for me to recommend it to other people. So I'm going to give it, and I was going into this literally about 20 minutes ago, expecting to give it a gem. And after the discussion, I'm actually going to give it a light stinker.
Didn't you just say you were going to give it a gem?
I did,
it makes sense, though.
So less than 20 minutes ago, I'm talking it out, I'm fleshing it out, and now I'm thinking, you know what, maybe I don't want to give it a gem. I think that, because I wouldn't recommend this, except to the biggest of horror fans, if you really want to check something. It's a deep cut. But to the casual fans listening right now, I can't recommend it, but I'm glad I watched it. Thank you, Pat, for that. There was a lot of cool stuff that I don't regret watching, but it is a slow burn, and not in the good kind of way. Until you get to that third act, which does show a lot of cool stuff. But I'm going to give it a light stinker. Bluster.
That kind of bums me out, man.
I'm sorry.
I think, I don't know. I was fully awake for this movie, and I guess I wasn't as torn.
Fully erect? Come on, Bluster.
I wasn't as torn as you guys were. I was watching it, and I recognize that it is slow, and it doesn't bother me, because I think it's easy to recognize that you don't have like the talent or the skill or the technique to make a great movie, and then just make some shitty slocky movie and have one good friend who's good at effects and put all that on screen and hope that carries you into like greatness. And I think that a lot of movies in the 80s did that, and I appreciate that this movie did not do that. They took it very seriously. Mm-hmm. They tried to do a lot of things. They might not have succeeded on all those, and they might have even left some of their characters to the side. And it even in the middle, I think the problem that it has is that there's so many characters and so many things being interacted with that they forget to push them all along, and they forget to keep you engaged by reminding you of what we're actually building up to. Yeah. And so it definitely does peter out. But obviously we've already acknowledged the third act is sick. Then no need to rehash that. But I think that overall, I think the movie is good, and I think that I'm remembering it now, and I'm having fond memories, and I'm very glad I got to see this, because I'd never heard of it, and no one else was going to recommend it to me apparently. So I'm going to recommend it to you all. I think that as far as like 80s weird monster movies go, you can do a lot worse than this. And I think that we've watched movies on this cast that we've recommended that are not even this good. So to me, it's a light gem, or even a full-on gem.
Full-on gem. What do you think,
full-on,
Dylan?
Baby.
I'm pretty much on the same side as Booster there. But again, major caveat, I fell asleep during this movie. So like, I can't defend the middle portion. And I'll say like, it's bloated as shit. Like, it put me to sleep. But this movie is overall pretty darn competent and really kind of entertaining in parts. I just wish that it was more, consistent with that. Because really that middle just drags it down. Blitzer's exactly right when he said that, like, they're just not pushing the characters on to anything. It lacks any forward momentum for a good, like, 20 minutes in there. But when that momentum hits, holy fuck, yeah. This thing is pretty goddamn impressive. The third act is raw as fuck. I woke up to screaming and didn't go to sleep after that because it was just all insanity after that point, and really good insanity. Great creature effects, a plot that's falling apart, but like it's so damn charming and it's got so much heart to it that I would be remiss not to recommend this to you. I don't think everybody's going to like it, but I think it is definitely worth taking a look at.
I just want to differentiate. We've watched some Italian movies on this cast. I can't remember the last one we watched.
Yep.
Where when we say they're slow, we literally mean nothing is going on. Oh, yeah. Like the characters right. are going to the same yeah, place.
If you can handle Deep Red, you can handle like two of them.
Oh, sure. I just want to say that this movie is not like that.
No,
like,
right,
it's
exactly.
slow, but they're doing different things.
Things
at
are
least.
Happening.
And yeah. So I just want to differentiate.
I assume
that.
I was asleep, so I don't know.
I can say that.
I don't know. But it's a gem for me. It's a light one, but it's a gem.
All right, what do you think, Manton?
Before I get to that, I have a slight aside, which is just that, like, this is technically the third movie that we watched. We watched Hocus Pocus, and we watched Evil Dead 2, which and we didn't want to re-review that because we've already touched on the
movie
quite a bit.
You all know the fucking rules.
But we did get to enjoy someone, a friend of ours, Brennan. It was his first time viewing Evil Dead 2.
Mm-hmm. Also and, Kelsey's.
Yeah, Kelsey's
oh,
too.
Wow, okay. So, like, I know over where I was sitting with Brennan, watching his pure utter joy at Evil Dead 2
yeah.
was,
he was just
one
gushing.
Of the most it was so fucking fun to
Manton
experience
and I
that
were
movie
flanking
new.
Him in our seats. It was great.
It was so fun.
I was every now and then now that he mentioned that like I was hearing a whoa oh, yeah. every now and then from like across because they were sitting like,
his,
way down away
dude, this guy's yeah. mind was being blown every 30 seconds and it was wonderful. And I also think that like watching this as the third movie after Evil Dead, this is the perfect movie that, like the way these movies were curated was so fucking good.
Yeah.
This is kind of when everyone is like ready for something weird. And this movie delivers on the weirdness.
Which also, speaking of the curation, like Pat put in like commercials and spliced between like all the spooky
so
things
good.
In
really
between
good
each
idea.
Of the movies. So,
music
so good.
Videos.
But
we watched Thriller.
You gotta finish out your review.
Yeah. So, basically like this movie does have a lot of the things that you would be looking for in a movie like this. And it has a very unique tone. It's not anything like what you might be expecting based on our description, based on if you see screenshots of the aliens or whatever. It's very interesting, and I definitely admire it, and I respect it. But that being said, like Devin, I also think that this has a lot of boring parts, and it's a shame because I think that they do a good job with characterization, and the story is interesting. But something's not working here completely. It doesn't work on the so bad it's good level because it's not bad. It really isn't. Right. But like Devin said, what he said kind of struck me, which is that, can I recommend this to someone? I don't really think so. I think that I could recommend this to, if someone else out there is doing a podcast of horror movies and they watch three fucking horror movies a week and they've seen
that's
it
fair.
All.
Yeah.
Like this movie gives me hope that there are still movies out there that we don't know about and that are still good. But this one, I'm going to have to give a light stinker because I just ultimately don't think that it just didn't work for me.
Even though you fell asleep in it, that's still surprising
and
you
that
especially.
Full disclosure, like I did fall asleep because, again, like I didn't get that so bad. It's
see,
good.
I would almost, like Dylan's alluding to, I'd almost imagine that Manta would be the guy
like,
who's high on it.
This seems like the movie that's made for
because
you.
Because if it True. I
can
I was
we also think
off.
Back at the last time that me and Manton gave the same review?
It had to be like last
Blinkster.
Year.
Yeah, it had to have been a year ago.
What happened?
Then me and Manton give a movie a stinker, and then you and Dylan give it a gem. I can't remember the last time that
was such
that
a weird combination.
Yeah, yeah.
It's usually, either we like all agree, we all disagree, or it's like me and Dylan or me and Bloodster. But me and Manton,
you guys are holding down the fort.
This podcast only exists because, like, especially with me and you, we would, like, these two would leave after two hours of our arguments, and we would argue for another 4 hours after that. So.
And that's a good way to segue right into our next email from B-Twisted, because we got some dissension, which
I
love it.
No.
I called out B-Twisted on the last cast. So I knew I was egging it on.
It's very civil, and I love it, and it's going to bring up some great discussion. But he says, hey, guys, happy Halloween. Last week's episode was mind-blowing to me. I just couldn't believe the ass-kicking you gave some of the old horror franchises, especially Friday the 13th. The simple truth is there are 12 Friday movies, and there's only one You're Next or whatever movie you worship at this time. I mean, you're not wrong. There will never be that many sequels ever, not even close. So what's up, kids? Respect your elders and watch franchise movies in order instead of randomly picking them. Fair.
Respect.
It makes the experience so much better. my generation made horror and we made it great. No arguments there either.
I agree with that.
And that is why I'm filing this. I'm filing this complaint. I respect and love your face value reviews, which I obviously don't agree with all the time, but that is what makes the horror family family.
Hell yeah, aww, man.
Yeah, we can't agree on everything, so eat my poop pipes, bitches.
I love it, dude.
Keep making me disagree, V-Twisted.
V-Twisted, dude.
Oh, I love you,
I love you so much. Thanks for that mail. I want to be totally honest. When I, after I watched that last Friday the 13th movie, I thought about it every single day afterwards. It,
yeah.
Like, it made me so mad that I've watched so many of these movies and I hate every one of them. I'm like, and I thought so much. We were driving by a movie theater. I'm thinking, like, I couldn't understand why they keep making these movies. And then it hit me, like, you go to the theater now and you're not going to be able to go and find a serialized or like sequel to some movie that you know. It just doesn't
right.
exist.
Right. Right.
Other than maybe Paranormal Activity or maybe Saw.
I got a little bit of that out of the Saw and the Final Destination franchise.
Exactly, exactly. But those are like rare and right now they're not out. But the thing with Friday the 13th is, dude, is like I said, they've got a formula and you know that when you go to the theater and that movie's playing, you know exactly what you're going to get.
It's a crossover hit.
I think that's the formula. Like, it's consistent and people know it.
And I kind of want to echo Bluester here. Like, believe me, I'm not proud of what I feel about this for the franchise. I'm actually upset. That makes me more upset. The fact that I feel like an outsider looking in and I'm like, why don't I fucking like this like everyone else likes it? And it is a generational thing. And you are, to your credit, into your email, that is your generation. The late 70s or the 70s in general and the 80s is when the reemergence of the horror fucking genre became a thing, and it was huge then. And bless we didn't it. Get to live through it like you did, and that's why it sucks to me. I'm almost like jealous. It's like it's a sour grapes type thing where I'm like, I wish I could fucking appreciate the. But the thing is, I'm also giving my face value thing. I'm not being dishonest. I do think those movies are kind of lame, but it makes me mad. Maybe more mad that I'm just like,
it's something
I
you want to appreciate.
Yeah, I want right, to you like it. I wish I was in your generation, and I wish I was able to enjoy it like you do.
I think like a,
and
a,
I can't.
A key thing is that like it hurts to give out stinkers. Like I want to.
Well, sometimes
it hurts. Sometimes it feels so good.
It's certain, I just thought about how funny that sounds.
We should to quote that, but it
hurts me daily.
A bumper sticker.
Put it on my tombstone, Jesus.
Okay, fuck.
You said it hurts to give out stinkers. Yeah, it's not an easy...
But no, it really does. Like, I want to... Every time, like, every week, we have three movies, right?
Yes.
And I want to like all three. I really do. I really want to like all three. And whenever people tell me that they like a movie that I hate, I'm like, fuck, I'm jealous. Like, I would love to like this movie. But like Devin said, like, we have to just... Sort of, that is kind of the gist of this podcast. That's something we talked about a lot before we started. We're like, look, we don't want to like go in and say like, oh man, you know, this movie's really great because it's part of this franchise. We specifically want to be very, very honest and upfront.
Me and Bluester shit on Night of the Living Dead by George Romero.
I feel like we broke that ice with that and with The Exorcist because we were so worried about The Exorcist and how people would feel about that.
I don't even like
that. That felt like a turning point for us where we were just like, okay, nothing sacred.
I got to come back around though and say, I did come back around and realize that I fucking love The Exorcist. One of the best.
Well, no, I changed my
tone. Right, but we were super worried.
We were, and Manton still to this day is not huge on it, which is great. That's the beauty of this podcast.
And fuck, I lost it.
I was just going to say, man, that I echo you. I want to love every movie we watch, and this movie event reminded me of why I watch these movies, because you look at people's faces when they watch them, or you watch Hocus Pocus and you realize that you're just smiling like an idiot watching this 30-year-old movie.
Look at all those weaklings leaving early, you know.
Well, those are plebes. They weren't on our level, but I just love watching people enjoy horror movies. It's what I live for.
I remember what I was going to say. One thing about Friday the 13th in particular, we haven't gotten to like the later stuff. But for me, kind of, that's what I start to like a little more. Like, Jason X, I absolutely...
We know
I
you like
totally
your schlock.
Fuck with Jason
full
X.
On schlock.
Freddy versus Jason, I love, like... I love Jason used as that. I like, you know, that sort of, like, hammy side of Jason later on. And I think that definitely there's people that fall... You know, they like the first earlier stuff, and some people like the later stuff. I'm probably closer to later. I guess we'll see when we get to that. But yeah,
I'm going to mount a little bit of a defense on this email, though. And I do want to make the point that there's a reason that the Friday the 13th franchise blew up. I mean, it's historical. I mean, it was at a time where the genre was blowing up and people wanted more, and not necessarily were more sequels warranted because of how the merit of the movies or how good they were. A lot of it had to do with money, and people kept going to see
them. The same case with the Paranormal Activity movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're not great overall.
But I also want to say, again, I wish I was able to enjoy them, and I do think they're good. When I argue about my defense against them, I say that it's me who thinks this. It's sure. not. I'm not trying to speak on the merit of the movies. I also want to make the point that I do... I never said this on the podcast yet, but I've said it in person to a lot of people that I think that I think the 70s and the 80s were the best decades of horror. I guess, and if you want to count the 30s or whatever.
I think anyone that listens to the podcast knows that you fucking love the 80s. Like, right. That's a given almost.
Right. But now let me make a further point to that email in your next, I guess, specifically. But I think we are actually living in maybe the second or third best decade of horror. I think that we are now at a place where we can say we are living. That's why this reemergence is happening right now. Like, that's why we're seeing all these. It Follows, The Witches. That's why we're seeing the Babadooks and stuff like that. I think we are now, and you are next, specifically to your email. I would argue that we are watching the best.
I'll say it's the first time it's been taken seriously.
Yeah, that's the
nice part about it.
It's the best decade in my lifetime, that's for damn sure. And I was born in 88, so I didn't experience the 80s, as the genre goes, at least. So I will argue that your next doesn't elicit a sequel. It doesn't need one. It wasn't trying to be that kind of franchise, and the franchise thing doesn't really happen like it used to. So it's kind of apples and oranges.
It does, but it doesn't happen in horror for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Like, it's superhero movies now kind of fill that void of the predictable.
Those are the moneymakers.
But I would never argue that Your Next is a better movie than Friday the 13th, even though in my top 10, which I make yearly, I do have it as...
Look, as a person who defended Friday the 13th, the only one who did last cast, I'll still say Your Next is far superior to those movies.
I'm just saying I like it more, but I wouldn't argue that. But the point is, I understand that these fucking personal near and dear franchises to the people of the 80s are certainly worth respecting and loving, and I will never judge anyone.
We could never step up on a soapbox and tell people that they're wrong for liking. I think we have probably many times told people they're wrong for liking a movie, but like what you like, man.
You gotta keep it real.
And again, keep in mind that in this very specific thing, we are in the small minority.
I fuck with them.
Yeah, exactly. Dylan's the one. Dylan fucks with them. I'll speak for myself. I'm in the small, tiny minority of guys who doesn't like the Friday the 13th franchise. And I understand and respect and love that you do. I just wish I could be there with you, buddy, loving it just the same way you do. But I like what I like, and you like what you like. That's just a very weird example, because otherwise I do love like the major franchise. I do love Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't know. Does anybody want to add to that? It's a very interesting email and conversation to be brought up. That's why I really kind of dug into it as much as I did.
Keep yanking our chain, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep on emailing us. We love it. But yeah, that's a very fun thing to talk about. But let's get into our last movie, unless anybody else wants anything else to say. Shaking your head and giving me the... go ahead and talk into the microphone. There's one in front of you.
Let's get this third review.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, perfect. So yeah, we're going to talk about our last movie, which is a mockumentary, a BBC mockumentary from the 90s. It is called Ghost Watch.
We should mention real quick, this isn't really the last movie that we watched for Pat's marathon. He had three scheduled, and us babies, me and Blutster.
I was gonna say, what was that shit you were
early.
Talking about? People leaving early?
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I was shots fired to myself. I got tired. Baby boy had to go home. You guys watched Prison after
Prison.
That, right?
Yeah, by Rennie Harlan, yeah. Which is the guy who did Nightmare on Elm Street 4 right after that. And it was great. It was fun.
It sounded really interesting.
Yeah. Viggo Mortensen, what are your thoughts on that one, Manton?
I would say Light Gem, confusing as fuck. I still don't understand it.
I'm kind of with you. Light Gem, effects were fun. It was actually a really well-made movie in general. Well-acted, well-written.
I don't understand the end. I don't understand jack shit about it.
Right.
I wish I could have seen it.
But it's very well shot, especially.
It's a cool movie. It's worth watching.
We tried to do, Blooster and I tried to catch up on it, but
we
were just
to
unable
it.
To find
We couldn't
a copy.
Find a copy, sadly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So we watched something else instead.
We watched Ghost Watch. We did tonight. We watched Ghost Watch. And who's the last person who has not given
it?
Manton, take it away, buddy.
So this is kind of a weird one to give a synopsis to.
Yeah, definitely.
If you have heard us talk about WNUF, I would be not surprised to learn that this is inspired by Ghost Watch.
For sure.
Ghost Watch is sort of a fake mockumentary.
A fake mockumentary?
Whoa.
Well, I was...
That's
so it's
really
levels upon levels.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
We should never
we do this
jokes.
Every time.
We should never make jokes
never
during
interrupt
his
me.
Synopsis.
Yeah, so Ghost Watch is basically like it's think of like a BBC broadcast, kind of like a newscast, like a night thing. This is on Halloween night. You have our host who is sort of gathered a few different people. We have this lady named Pasco, is it? It's her last
sure.
name, Dr.
Let's
Pasco.
Say Pasco.
She is like a paranormal psychologist, I think, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
She sort of investigates hauntings, poltergeists, spookies, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the crew on the scene. They're investigating a very, what is it? What is it, the Enfield?
Enfield Poltergeist.
Exactly.
Right.
The Conjuring 2, what it's based on.
It's basically like a rip on the that whole thing. The Conjuring 2 is also based on. And they're kind of investigating this strange occurrences at this house. They start out with some footage of these two young girls that are in bed and they're hearing these loud sounds. And that's kind of the premise for the entire movie, is that they're hearing these loud sounds. You find out that, you know, their mom was like, oh, that's just the pipes. So the little girls started saying, oh, that's pipes. And they've sort of personified these sounds that they're hearing. And they call it a man that's name is Pipes. You get all the typical tropes, like the kids drawing weird shit. We kind of go back and forth between the host talking to the investigator. They're taking phone calls from people that are watching. You've got the kooky newscaster who's like pranking them every once in a while. It is very WNUF, minus the whole commercials and that sort of thing. And we, of course, find out that maybe things aren't what they seem. Maybe there's a hoax. Maybe there's not a hoax. We don't really know till the end.
I mean, and that's kind of like what Manton was talking about, but there's a lot of layers going on. Like you would have if they were doing like a live broadcast of anything, you've got all kinds of other interruptions, like little interviews with people on the block and people calling in with weird stories like, oh, my ham and cheese sandwich jumped off the couch, dude, it was really freaky. And you get lots of like weird dry humor like that, but then you also have them trying to investigate the house and see if these little girls are full of shit or if their house is really full of spookies.
This is a really ambitious movie. Like, there's a lot that it's tackling here.
They do a lot of stuff.
I want to make the point that I think I might have misled you guys a little bit. I thought this was, that Ghost Watcher was an actual show that was on BBC. I don't
you
think it was.
No, fucking
but
liar.
Yeah, my immersion is lost.
But I will say that, according to the Wikipedia page, despite having been recorded weeks in advance, the narrative was presented as a live
right.
as live television.
It's kind of like a War of the Worlds situation.
During and following its first and only UK television broadcast, the show attracted a considerable amount of calls, resulting in like 30,000 calls to BBC
I'm sure.
during and after cool. the show. So it was presented to be
yeah,
real.
It's pretty fucking convincing. That. Like, we have the benefit of watching this after the fact and, you know, on...
Is it a benefit?
I don't know, but like, yeah, that's maybe benefit's the wrong... It's a detriment, but like, we are watching this after the fact. Had we
right.
been watching this like at the time, I think this would have been remarkably effective as like, oh, this is just a BBC show.
Right.
I just want
to go wrong.
I just want to say how much I love that. Like, I don't think I've experienced it in my lifetime where something has
no.
been
no, people
been playing
Blair Witch, I guess, but I mean, the Blair Witch.
Well, I didn't see it in theater, yeah, so I missed the.
But it was sold to be like a real thing.
No, definitely.
Yeah, it wasn't
sure,
our
sure.
lifetime,
but
not
but
like
that's,
this.
That's rare. People don't
very
do it
different.
A lot.
Yeah,
I just love the idea that you put something on TV, you play it straight, and you don't tell anybody that it's fake, and everyone is just like eating it up, like they believe it's
cool,
real.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do like it. I think that this movie does that in one of the best ways we've ever seen. I think, you know, when you talk about found footage and stuff, I think we always bring up the idea of like editing and like, you know, coming across like, okay, they're presenting this as real, but it's obviously not.
Exactly.
I think doing it this way is super smart. It kind of reminds me of Noroi and WNUF, of course, again.
Sure.
Where this is done so, so, so well because there's never any edits or anything that you wouldn't see in a live broadcast.
Right.
On
there's
the BBC.
One or two suspect. Cuts,
and
but,
sure.
Yeah.
But,
and to kind of further that, I mean, there are edits that you wouldn't see.
Yeah.
And that, like,
those are freaky.
Like fuck ups and shit
yes.
like that, where you just, where they have people like, they're like, get the production team out of here, come on.
Which brought
oh,
me,
I love
like,
that
like
stuff,
the
yeah.
way that they were doing those there, like, brought me to in the Blair Witch remake. Like, they kept doing these, like, jittery edits, like,
yeah.
and like, cuts and weird things, glitches with the film.
I really did
that.
I hated in those, because I was like, well, there's no real point that this should be happening, but in this one, it feels very naturalistic.
Well, they also have the benefit that because they're, like, they're shooting remotely, right, and they have the host where they're in this mm-hmm. big studio, is that whenever something goes wrong with the broadcast, they can switch back over,
yep.
and they can, like, break up the pace, and so they have, like, a lot of freedom. And so, like, the whole time I was watching it, I wasn't, like, constantly thinking, why are they filming this? How is this happening? And that's when you really lose that immersion. So I was glad they
did that. To that point, I want to bring up the elephant in the room again. We're going to say that again in this episode. No big deal. But this one is, it kind of has to be compared to WNEF if you've seen it. And as far as breaking up the pacing goes, first off, these movies are so, so similar, but there's also a lot of stark differences. First off, the tone. I think this one kind of strikes more of a serious, spooky mm-hmm. tone. It's trying to really spook you, whereas WNEF kind of goes
scarier
for,
than WNEF by a long shot.
Yeah, far and away scarier, which is awesome, and I appreciate it.
I don't know
it.
If I'd agree with that.
But
Really?
Wow. No, I think that WNUF disarms you a lot more. That's true. Then when the things at the end happen, but it's like you're in the zone.
But WNUF is more like 95% comedy with a 5% thing.
True, true. It's
jarringly disarming.
What this one did better, the reason this one was scarier to me is there was more genuine tension in this one because it was from the beginning, essentially. Like,
yeah, this one.
Whereas WNUF, I'll give you that. Like the ending of WNUF is so effective because it's like just disarmed you the entire time.
I agree with that. But what I'll say is that in this one, because they maintain a very consistent tone, like it's hard to tell when the scary thing is going to happen.
That's what I like though, because like what I kept doing is that thing that Manton always talks about, like where you're scanning the background of a movie.
Yes.
Like in this one, my eyes were always looking for, because they give you a little hint like early in the movie that there is something maybe in the background.
That is the point I wanted to make.
You keep looking for it.
This is not a movie you sit around with 10 friends and put it on with lights on and drinking and stuff and like kind of not pay. You got to pay full attention, because like you said, in the first act of the film, there's a very subtle scare and it's really well done. And through the rest of it, they kind of work on that and they do very subtle.
They do one that's not even subtle. That's split, like there and like in the scares. Background, and they never address it. And that is so scary.
Yeah, I love it. They don't address it in a lot of it. And anyway, the point I was going to make earlier is I think that WNUF strikes more of a comedic tone for most, like literally 95% of it.
For sure.
And that's great. And as far as pacing goes, though, what they do, which is so brilliant in WNUF, is they break the pace up with commercials.
Yeah, those commercials are
with
great.
Fake commercials, and that is incredible. And that's one thing that I think that they saw, the creators probably saw Ghostwash and said, you know what, the one thing Ghostwash was missing was a little bit of some kind of breaking up point. Yes. And that's when they put in commercials,
and that's
I
where
think that's brilliant.
Yeah, the break in this is pretty good, them cutting to the studio. Yeah. But I'm less of a fan of the studio stuff.
Yeah,
I think partially some of it is like that it gets lost in translation, and I realize this is a movie in English, but like it's a British TV program and I don't really have any frame of reference
right.
for those.
I don't either.
So what I was watching was just kind of weird, like the this whole like large studio they keep panning around and like they're taking calls and everything.
I love it.
I was like, yeah, it's cool, but I was like, I don't get what this is.
The format's a bit alien to us because I think there's not really any shows quite like that in the US.
Right.
Well, for me, the one thing that I'll say is that I think it almost felt like oversaturated when they were going back to the theater. There was constantly talking, like they were always narrating something or reading something or someone was talking.
There's no real dead space.
And so at the end, when they finally do have silence, it's very, I appreciated it. It's very stark. And so I just wish that there, in WNUF, there's lots of pauses and stuff like that where you could take a breath and like, okay, I can look away for just a second.
I do actually disagree with that. WNEF to me was rapid fire, and it was like when it wasn't like a funny comedic scene with like the interview, it was a funny bunch of commercials.
But I think that what he's saying though is in those scenes though, like with the speaking, they take more pauses in it. Like this one is pretty rapid fire. Well, it's like they're not trying to have dead air. And like, that's definitely a part of that broadcast, but
I'll agree with that, and I'll go even a step further. What I'm saying is that just like with real TV, when I'm watching a program, they play an ad, like I'm not paying attention as much. Like
for sure.
The ads in WNUF are very fast and very loud and very like in your face, but it's not part of the main broadcast, which is the actual story. Like I can still kind of relax and take a break for a second.
That's fine.
In this, there was no pause ever.
And again, to what Dylan's saying is that that's probably like being honest to what the show would have been like actually if it was broadcasted, which is great. There shouldn't be dead air. There shouldn't be anything
but it,
like
it
that.
Does. I will say, like, it does kind of make it a little bit harder to follow in that, like, it's kind of
always something
kind
going
of a
on.
Lull after a certain point, like just like auditorially, like this movie all blends together, like everything sounds the same.
That's basically,
I think so.
And that can kind of like get
a little
wearing on
you. But I think it does build a ghost story throughout it, which is pretty cool and a pretty unique one. That, yeah, very subtly.
It is unique, yeah.
And it's a scary one too. Like when they start really building on what the ghost is, it's kind of freaky.
I kind of got to harp on that. Yeah, it's a scary ghost story, and not only is it scary, the movie itself from the first act is actually scary. Like it tries to be scary from the beginning, which I appreciate. It's not trying to be a satire or a comedy, although there are very like subtle comedic elements to it. Sure, there's parts you laugh out loud at. It's very Halloween-y, but it's a genuinely, there's some genuinely like upsetting things in it.
And the ending does something incredible, really. Like the way that this movie ends is
not what I
expected.
It has a very abstract sort of ending, and I really like that.
I do too.
I like that, you know, they've sort of been doing this build up, and it has a good payoff. It does.
Well, you kept trying to guess it, man. Like through the whole thing, you were coming up with all these.
You know what I like?
Which
you
I kind of agreed with you at certain points. And
you know what
I
really like is that Well, that's the thing. Was I like? It's open ended, and I really appreciate that. This is a movie that earns its open endedness at the end, because we could sit here and say like, well, maybe this is what was happening. Maybe this is what was happening, and I love that.
I want to kind of harp back on like the actual like visceral scares in this movie, which I think they do exist, and they do exist.
They do exist.
That's a reference to the M&M's
it's an Christmas
commercial.
Sorry,
nice.
Thanks for
Very
calling
cool.
me.
Very cool. Only 90s kids.
I was thinking the other M&M.
No. No, 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 no. Manton, you were giving some very great visceral reactions to some of the actual scares in it. I want to see if you would be able to speak on some of those and how they worked.
So I got spooked a couple times. I always said that I really like the scares that are not as pronounced, like when you kind of see something in the background. Yeah. And in a lot of movies, you don't get that. And I think it's because they want to make sure. They don't want to, like, make a scare that you might not see.
Right.
And I think that in this
movie. It's the James Wan school of scaring.
Yeah.
Right. And with this, it's like, Devin, I think you mentioned this. You're like, oh, shit, I didn't see some of these scares when I first watched it. I love that. I fucking love it because there's so many moments. There's a great moment that I think Dylan and I were the only ones that
the
saw.
The tape recorder?
It. Basically, there was that one was very obvious, but there was another one later.
Actually, a lot of people missed that.
Yeah,
that I was with.
Really?
Yeah,
you could even miss it.
Yeah.
There was a great one later on that where like a, I think like a light explodes and you see there's a figure standing under the light, and I just got chills thinking about it because it's like, it's such a fast cut and it's so. You can't help but wonder what the fuck that is.
Through the whole thing, like the mystery with this ghost that they set up, it's never very clear what it is until the end, and then it gets a little clearer, and it's scarier for that, actually,
in this case.
Like, it's a really fucking creepy
idea. The way
they,
like, slowly kind of build piece by piece what this ghost
and just,
is.
Just, like, you know there's something wrong about it. Like, them calling it Pipes, like, for whatever reason, that's a really good name.
It is good,
like, a really good kid's name
for this
ghost.
And then it turns into, like, well, there's dark eyes, and he's wearing, it's either a woman wearing a dress or a guy wearing a robe.
Like, you get this piece by piece information, and, like, when they do it a lot of it with the calls where people are like, I know that house. Like, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
Like, and it starts to get, you know, creepier and creepier as you go by until, like, I mean, this movie goes off the goddamn rails at the end.
It does, actually.
But it does it in a way that I don't think anybody would have expected. Like, it's a pretty fucking out there, brilliant idea what they're doing with this thing. I saw no part of that coming. Manton kept guessing things, and he's partially right or maybe right on some of them, but then maybe he's not. Like, he's right.
Mr. Dumbass, you mean?
Well, that's the thing is, like, you can guess as much as you want. I don't think anybody's going to guess this one.
Yeah.
And that's a really smart move for them to take it this far left field at the end.
Right. And I don't think there's any way you should be able to guess it. I mean, that's the way this kind of narrative is built. But yeah, I don't know. Does anybody else have anything to say on...
We've been saying a lot of positive things about it, but I will say that the movie is long, or if it's not, it feels very long. And it feels like you would be watching like one of these, you know, Halloween special whatever things. Like it's that time frame. But that means, I mean, they're not cutting things. So like there's stuff happening that is just kind of like boring filler stuff that you get in like those live ghost shows.
And that's kind of what brought me back to my point earlier, or what is bringing me back to my point earlier, is that I love how WNF put in fake commercials.
Right.
I think it does break up the pace a little bit. This one is just a long, hour and a half long show.
Whereas WNUF is like, and we can say from experience, is a crowd pleaser. You put that one on and like everybody's
fire.
Like, oh, this is so much fun.
It's very different.
This is not a fun movie necessarily. It is fun. Like, I have fun with it.
That's
but
the thing.
It's not a group watch necessarily.
Right. It's a hard.
It's a ghost watch.
Nice. It's a hard tone to tackle. But I will say I did watch it in a group of about 8 people at my apartment, and we were all pretty...
Well.
What's that?
That went well?
Yeah, it went really well. And people kept on like kind of like talking to each other like, did you see that in the background?
That's true. There is
that there? Do you guys see that in the background?
There's kind of a social aspect to trying to catch the scares.
And there's still, just to mention, like there are like Halloween, like pure Halloween references to like the holiday. I mean, where you have kids trick-or-treating and you have all this stuff. So it is very much a Halloween-y movie. But the pacing could definitely be done in a more fast,
I'm glad that it did,
easier way.
But just know that you're getting into that. Like,
right.
It's not gonna reward you immediately.
And it's cool because it's fucking 1992 BBC movie, TV movie at that I had never heard. Has anybody heard
of
this?
Never heard of it.
I just dug it out of the fucking dirt. And I'm not taking credit for it. But like,
you made this movie, didn't you?
I basically made this movie.
Are you Mr.
Watch? Thank you for Ghost Watch.
All the directors and creators are thanking me now because they're famous. It was just very bizarre to like, you know, doing a fucking podcast for 3 years or whatever, and then
I am
doing
kind of
some
amazed
research.
We never heard about this.
Yeah, and then we just found this, and that's great, and that makes me so excited. But I'll give my review. I went into this. The funny part is, I knew I had a bunch of people coming over to watch a movie, and I was like, oh, what the fuck are we going to watch? We're going to rewatch something. And then, like, literally within, like, 10 minutes to leave my apartment to get to my place, to get to the next place to watch the movie, I found this one. I clicked the IMDb. I watched a little trailer. I just read something else, and I was like, okay, we're watching this one. And I downloaded it, and I fucking went and put that one on first thing.
Did
and it
you
was,
legally download this movie?
No, it was very legally. The British Broadcasting Company, I paid them good money.
Okay.
In pounds or whatever the fuck they fucking...
Pounds sterling, baby.
Anyway, it was such a bizarre like happenstance, but I fucking threw it on the hard drive, put it on the TV, and I was very pleasantly surprised. And of course, first thing, like 5 minutes in, I texted my boys here and said, like, this is WNUF. What the fuck? Like, this
yeah,
is exactly
praise,
like it.
Yeah.
And that is high praise for sure, because that's a favorite, a Halloween favorite for us. And then I went through it all, and I saw some similarities, some differences. And all in all, I was very, very pleasantly surprised. And I love the fact that they really struck a tone of dread and fear, and they wanted that. They wanted to make this scary. There are some subtle comedic elements, but I love that they were really trying to make some spooks happen in this film, and that's what I really love about it. It is Ghostwatch from 92 out of the BBC... company or whatever, and it's a gem, and I'm super stoked to have seen it, and I recommend it awesome. To everybody on Halloween night. What do you think, Manton?
I really like this movie. It was who mentioned that it's a bit slow in the middle? Was that Dylan?
Yeah,
it is
for sure.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, though.
It's not necessarily. I think that it's almost like they were so dedicated to the accuracy that it did end up a little boring. So it's like, on one hand, you got to give them credit for being that dedicated. But on the other hand, it's like face value. It does get a little boring. But that being said, it kind of makes up for it at the end, which goes batshit insane. And even outside of that, there's a lot of little moments, like Devin has mentioned, of subtle scares that you may miss the first time. And he missed some of the scares the first time. If you like WNUF, if you like the idea of that sort of thing, this is a great one to go back to 1992 and watch.
Watch it live.
Got it.
Yep,
yeah, it's a gem for me. It's a fun movie. I would say definitely throw it on your Halloween watch list.
What do you think, Bluester?
Yeah, this is a really, really weird one for me. I still, like, as I'm going through the cast, I still don't really know how I feel. And even as I was watching it, I was like, I'm thinking about it now. I love the idea of this. I love this, like, natural show you put it on and no one knows if it's real or fake. I fucking love that idea, and I love how committed they were to it. It feels very much like a real production. Like, mm-hmm. if I was watching my local news, I feel like I would get something similar. This is like higher production, obviously much better, but
definitely
it feels very
shots fired
real.
At our local news.
Our local news Fuck sucks 'em. Balls. But what I'll say is that
unless they want us on it, and then they're great.
If I think that my mistake is that I was going in with a WNUF mindset, and yeah. I didn't get that at all. Even though they're a very similar format, they're very, very different movies. And what I'll say is that this movie is good throughout. Almost all of it. I wouldn't even say that it's boring, but what I'd say is that it's so saturated with things. Like, it's like if you're eating a really hearty meal and you never take a break to breathe, you're just constantly shoveling
it
in.
That's true.
Eventually you get to the point where, like, you're not tasting anything. You're not remembering anything. You're just doing it to get it over with. And, like,
we're back to the food analogy.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ.
It always works best, baby. But it does. For me, like, I almost started to get bored because I was just like, I was getting brain drain. And so what I'll say is that this movie is a gem for me, but I think that you need to be in the right mindset. Like, I just got home from work, I was tired, and I didn't want to watch a slog of a movie, and I feel like that's what I got. Even though there's lots of cool things happening and things that are catching your eye, and these guys obviously said all the good things, so I'll let them continue, but I think that overall it's a good movie, but make sure you're committed and ready, and you have, like, enough energy, you have some coffee, and you're ready to go.
Not an easy watch. What do you think, Dylan?
What would you give it?
Oh. I give it a gem.
Yeah.
Well, going off what Bluester's saying there, this one is weird in the sense that it is aping off of a type of TV show that you would just, like, put on in the background and not pay attention to, but the movie wants you to pay direct attention to it. Like, yes. It demands that
you're
pay close attention to it.
You're rewarded attention. For
it. And you're rewarded like hell. Like, it's a really good movie for that. But it because it's kind of that weird, you know, double take there, it is a little hard to follow in certain points. He's right there. It is, I think, a really good sister piece to WNUF, Whereas WNUF is very much like the American style like, version of this. This is very much the British style version of this. And like they're different, but man, do they like hit it out of the park on the things that they're trying to do. This movie is so committed to its premise, just like WNUF is, that like it's automatically enjoyable for that alone. But beyond that, like I was surprised with how unnerved this movie made me. Like how honestly scared I was in parts of it. And it's not consistently scary like that, but those moments, holy shit, like they're really good. And this movie is definitely enjoyable. I can't say I would recommend it as like Halloween party viewing. It's not like a big crowd pleaser, but you should put it on like your individual watch list for the season. Like something you watch maybe alone or with like a significant other. I would say with like two or three people, you're in the right ballpark there. So you're all kind of trying to catch the scares together. But it's definitely a gem. Other than a WNUF, I've seen like nothing else like this, and I would love to see more. I'm trying to find more.
But first off, I want to kind of go back to your point of like not making it a crowd pleaser. There's one thing that can kind of drag you straight out of the tone of the film, and that is what they refer to this little basement area under the stairs. Somebody want to kind
what of, a translation
you
issue.
Want to expound on that?
So there was like a photo darkroom, and for some reason,
instrumental to the plot too.
So it comes up a lot. The mother is talking about this dark room, and she's like, "We had something like this when I was a kid. We'd go down in there. We called it the glory hole."
Yep.
And I don't know if this is like a time thing or a British thing, but
how long have people been using glory holes? We struggled with it.
Well, to make it worse too, is that they keep talking about long hard objects in there and like weird.
There is a very unfortunate like series of sentences that she's saying about this thing where she's just like, "It was like a long hard man next to me" or something. I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah, just think about how much we've talked about this film.
Breathing on my neck while I was in the glory hole. I'm like, oh Jesus.
In the sobering tone we've brought up and how like you want to take it seriously, and then you have this very like instrumental piece called the glory hole.
We're sitting here defending ourselves. We're fucking children.
We are dummies.
And I don't defend it. I embrace it.
We gotta embrace it. But as like sobering and scary as this tone is, whenever they would bring up that glory hole, we would just kind of all like be like, just kind of like try not to look at each other. But other than that, it seemed to do well. But anyway, let's wrap it up. Before we do, we usually have a game that we play at the end of the podcast. This one will not quite be a game as much as I want to celebrate the Halloween spirit and the holiday. Because if you're listening now, you're probably coming up on it pretty quickly, I imagine. It's either during the week and it's coming up this weekend with all the parties, or it's the weekend and it's coming up on Monday. But we got to celebrate it. Hopefully you got some good recommendations from us. But I'm going to ask you guys questions about your personal Halloweens. So first off, I'm going to ask, what is your favorite Halloween candy to each of my castmates?
Oh, shit.
Bluester's got his hand up really quickly.
Well, I mean, we all know it. I mean, it's the best candy, period. And there's a bag of it on Manton's bed, and I'm going to eat it all by myself. Fuck you all. It's Reese's.
Case closed.
In any form. Damn. It doesn't matter if it's a bar, a cup, or a piece. I want a piece of it in my mouth and in all my holes. All
right. What do you think? Dylan, I guess you agree.
Absolutely. Like 100%. I would rather eat a Reese's than any other candy. I do have to give some mention. I don't want to eat it most of the other times of the year, but I like Butterfinger around this time.
Sure.
Butterfinger's good. Like I always have the, you know, I remember those little fun sized Butterfingers. It feels like I always got a ton of those when I was trick or treating, and I like those things.
I'd say around the year that I'm into Milky Ways, so I love the little miniature fun sized Milky Ways, whether they're the midnight ones or the dark ones.
Those are good.
I love Milky Ways. What do you say? Booster, you had something else you wanted to add?
Just a quick shout out, because it doesn't get enough love, just some candy corn.
I mean, candy corn.
I was going to bring this up. I was going to say this is going to get me in more hot water than the Friday the 13th, like shitting on those movies. But I fucking love candy corn. I could eat it all year.
Oh, cool. I like flavored wax.
Oh, burn.
Maybe I do. Pull it straight out of my ear. Turn it into candy.
Shot, dude.
Candy corn is revolting.
So yeah, it's raw.
Candy corn is fucking incredible. I'm sure we're going to emails about that. But I also love Swedish Fish. That's like,
oh, hell yeah.
One of my top tier candies.
I'm all about it.
Top nice. Tier candy.
Sour Patch Kids.
God tier candy.
Let's move on, guys. What's your favorite Halloween song? That could be from a soundtrack or just a crazy Halloween song. I'll start off with mine.
Hold on. Me and Brandon, well, let's do ours together. You ready?
Here we go.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Spooky, scary skeletons.
There we go.
That's it?
Okay.
Yeah. I like that one too.
Where is that song from? Everybody,
I don't know. Right?
Like I know where it is. I know where it's from. There's a guy that did, because I was trying to find the original version for so long.
It's hard to find.
There's all these remixes and shit. Fuck them. The original version is made by this guy. I can't remember his name right now, but he did like a full Halloween children's album.
Ooh.
And
oh,
that's
wrong.
One of the songs.
Okay.
It's from way long ago, right? Like the 40s or something, right?
No. It's from the 90s.
Okay.
I'm almost positive it's like the 90s.
I'll get you the artist.
we'll get back to that, but mine are pretty much very like, well, my first one's like a huge one, but the Ghostbusters Ray Parker Jr. theme song, I could fucking, if that was made into a drug, I would overdose on it. I fucking cannot stop listening to that. And 1 second.
No, I know what yours is. I'm going to say it too.
Okay. Do it together.
Will Smith.
Yes.
Nightmare on My Street.
Thank you, Dylan.
Nightmare on My Street.
Those are the two songs that I don't listen to until October. And once I do, I just binge listen because they make me so bubbly and happy. So
shout out to that RJD2 remix of the Suspiria theme, which is also right for this time of year.
Is that it's not RJD2. It's DJ Shadow, I think.
Oh, DJ Shadow. That's one of them.
Sure.
One of them DJs.
DJ Shadow does a Suspiria Goblin remake or whatever.
Very good.
Yeah, it's very good. But yeah, it's Nightmare on My Street by Will Smith and whatever his DJ's name was at the time.
Jazzy Jeff,
that's right. Minton, did you answer your... Oh yeah, you guys both have the same one.
So yeah, I looked it up. It's from Andrew Gold. It's called Spooky Scary Skeletons.
Skellingtons.
I keep wanting to call them Skellingtons. Go check it out. It's really good.
So Dylan, was that yours?
Yeah, that's mine.
All right, sweet. So we're going to go to your favorite Halloween memory, if you have one, a brief one. I'll let you guys think for a second while I tell mine, and mine's just a simple one. We used to go to a cabin in college. I think Dylan, you and Manton, you went to one.
I never got to experience this.
Oh God! That was
Birdstown,
fucking so fun,
Tennessee,
dude.
And it was like.
Isn't that where I met you, Dylan? Didn't you go?
It might have been the first time we met.
Yeah,
I think so.
That would have been in like 2007 or something like that. And we went out there in a tiny cabin in a tiny place called Birdstown, Tennessee, where you would see like a cabin in the woods type horror movie happen, and we all were in costume, just of course getting like absolutely lit,
just
trashed, and then we would wander into the local town and like. Cause all kinds of trouble.
Ruckus.
But those were my favorite memories. I think we
did
that
twice. I specifically remember when the cops came and told us to turn it down, and they were like, but hey, it don't matter.
Yeah, you guys, we've got a lot of noise complaints over the nights, but hey, it don't matter.
So
we just
so
kept
funny,
cranking
dude.
It up.
It's so funny.
I also remember with the cops, I was dressed up as
a
cop.
Yeah, you and Josh.
Like, you were just
Tom
cop.
Jackson and Jack Thompson.
Yep, we were Officer Tom Jackson and Jack Thompson.
You had these fucking walkie-talkies. You were like, Tom Jackson is Jack Thompson?
You had to be there.
And then we saw a police car out in the fucking public, and we just like got by it, and we were taking a picture. We saw like a security guard. We walked into a building where there was like a fucking wrestling match.
God, a local wrestling match. So
and there was a security guard, and I remember me and Josh were just like tilted our hats. We were just like, Officer.
College, man. Oof.
Anyway, favorite memory.
Mine is like over the course of several years, my mom used to sew, and she made me like a black robe with a hood because 1 year I wanted to be a Jawa. And so I wore it as a Jawa. Then the next year I wore it as Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi.
Yep.
And the next year I wore it as the Scream Killer. But by that point, I had... like the thing was up to like my knees, and so like I had outgrown it, but I kept wearing that fucking thing. I wore it for like 4 years. And
you
I
just puberty the hell out of that costume.
Oh hell yeah, I wrote it out.
That's adorable.
That's sweet. What do you think, Blooster?
So I don't think I have like a specific memory that I can think of right now, but overall I have like really fond memories of when Devin used to live at his old apartment at the Ordo, and we would always meet up there to do Halloween spooky things, or our night would always end there, and we would watch movies until like 8 in the morning.
We'd
after.
Wait for a live stand there.
Exactly.
It never happened.
And I specifically have a great memory one time. We were meeting up to watch a movie, and then we were going to go out to like a dance party. And as I was running up to the door, someone was coming, because there's no lights around this ghetto apartment, of course. And there was a guy running through the field to my left, and he was wearing like this really dark outfit, and it looked like he had a knife in his hand. I was like, holy shit, this dude's gonna kill me. And so I just start running, okay? And to put it into perspective, Devin's apartment, there's a long trail you walk by. There's no lights. There's completely blocked. This dude could just stab me here and I would die.
And nobody would find you.
No one would ever find me. And so I run in and I get to Devin's door and I just like kick the door and I'm like, oh my God, this guy's chasing me because he was literally running at me. I turn around and it's just Caleb Perry.
Perry, one of our friends.
And he takes his mask off. He's like, yeah, what's up, Looser? I'm like, dude, I thought you were going to kill me.
I literally thought I was going to be murdered.
I was so scared. My heart was beating.
That's incredible. Manton, what's your thought?
I have a couple kind of vague ones. One of them is like that first year where like you kind of are allowed to go trick or treating without your parents. I don't know if you guys experienced that.
I had 1 year of
like,
that.
Right. It's like, it's this very short time frame where you're like, you're not too old to trick or treat, but you're not too young to be kind of by yourself. And that was really fun. It's just kind of like that freedom that you get.
Also, if you trick or treated and you didn't use a pillowcase, you fucking did it wrong.
You fucked up.
You know,
you got one of those dumbass plastic pumpkin cases, dude.
Get out of here.
You're an idiot because, like, I realized this the hard way because I remember going out with some friends at Trick or Treat. It was when I first moved to Kentucky, and everyone here had pillowcases, and I was like, that's stupid. Like, that fit my stereotype of Kentucky. Like, I thought everyone, like, didn't wear shoes, you know, all that shit.
Oh, my God.
And so they all had pillowcases, so I was like, this is stupid. Jesus. And then I realized, holy
Savage.
Shit.
Savage.
No, it's brilliant,
dude. You can fit, like, 10 kids worth of candy in there.
Absolutely.
Like, it's unbelievable.
That's why we're so big in Kentucky. What was your second? Those big pillowcases.
Right. Did you have another sentiment, right?
I really don't. I mean, like, well, so many of these, like, great memories we've all kind of shared, so, like, you guys,
Wow.
We'll leave it there. But you guys have kind of like experienced most of my. You guys have already talked about mine.
Yeah, Halloween's only been getting better and better. Like, we haven't been able to trick or treat for years and years, but like spending it with my spooky boys is what I look forward to every year.
Yeah. Well, speaking of trick or treating, I want to say that I'm almost like we're getting to the point now where like I'm starting to get excited about people coming to trick or treat at our house.
Hell yeah!
And we got some bags of candy today, and so
Dylan ate it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Dylan already ate all of our candy, so we're gonna have to go get more. But
I ate a Reese's cup.
We finally have porch lights, and so I'm hoping that kids won't be afraid to come to our
house. So you're worried that the porch lights were what was making the difference. Not the fact that you have a raccoon living in your walls and,
or
no,
don't know about that.
And your house is sinking.
I love that when it came down to you were like, we need porch lights or gutters right now. Let's go ahead and get porch lights.
They don't know until it's too late.
Anyway, let's get into our last one that's going to be talked about at length, but that is going to be your favorite Halloween tradition. If there's something you kind of try to revisit year to year, and again, to give you guys something to think about, or time to think about it, mine is something we've just done recently and we've done the past a couple times. And that is watching classic horror movies outdoors.
It's
is just my tradition.
It's
if I can get
do it.
The elements and get freezing fucking cold, which me and Manton were freezing our dicks off.
Should have brought a blanket, man.
Yeah.
We'll sleep
we
blanket.
Had blankets, but by the end of the barn viewing, we were freezing.
The thing is, was like the hay bales were so much warmer.
Oh, really? Yeah,
because
they were
outside of the way of the open door of the barn. Right. Like, when I moved over there, it was 100 times warmer.
There you go.
I don't know why you ever moved over there.
But watching, you know, marathoning scary movies in the elements outside during October is incredible. That's my tradition. What is yours, Dylan?
One pretty recently that we do a little pumpkin double date between me and Megan and Blister and Kelsey. It's our second year doing it. It's been a blast. We did this one making pumpkin pancakes and going out to Huber's in Indiana and picking some pumpkins and making some jack-o'-lanterns.
And I finally carved one and it worked.
Yeah, Blister's didn't look like just like beef jerky this time. It's pretty good, man.
I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah. Manton, what's your tradition?
I think that I probably am going to share this one with Brandon too. It's our Halloween party.
Yeah.
Oh, like, fucking A.
I today was just like giddy with excitement running around the house being like, oh, we could put this here. We could put that there. Like, it's just... I haven't felt this excited for Halloween since I was a little kid.
It
like,
already looks so awesome. Good. Yeah, yes,
it looks fucking awesome.
Always on point.
Spoiler, children listening, adult Halloween's way better.
It's like, you know, all those movies where they show, like in Trick or Treat, where they show like the adult party going on behind the door and everything. Like,
it's true. It's that
true.
Fucking
it's that
grown-up Halloween fucking rules, Blister.
Yeah, if you're a kid and you're listening to this, fuck you.
Why are you listening? Fuck you.
No, definitely I'm going to mirror Manton. Like, when my girlfriend first moved in, like, she likes to plan things, specifically parties and organize things, and so she
has no equal, man.
She just wanted to do something, so she did the party. But now, every year, it's getting bigger and bigger. And so, like, we plan out further and further in the year. And now, this year, like, Manton and Rachel and everybody in the house is all going hardcore. And we're all just, like, digging in fully to this, getting ready for
the
party.
That's the thing is, like, any party you guys throw is fucking on point. Kelsey is a goddamn miracle worker. And I can't wait to see what you guys come up with now that you're all putting your fine little heads together on this.
Oh, buddy, we got some things finalized today. We got some other things going on in the kitchen. Like, it's going to be pretty sweet. And it's just quickly becoming one of my favorite parts of the year. Just like coming up to this party, dressing up. Because it's like you've got costumes, you've got all the spooky decorations.
Booze.
And all the candy, the booze, of course. And spooky movies. I mean, it's just everything I love in one just concise day. And it's just perfect.
All right. Yeah, that's sweet. We'll be there in less than a week. Can't wait for it. Last question. We'll make it real quickly. We don't have to talk too much about it. This will be a reiteration of the past few weeks anyway. But of course, you got to ask, what's your favorite Halloween movie? Give one title, maybe a brief thing. That's it. But Dylan, we
trick
said
treat.
Before.
Trick or treat. It's Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat from 2009 or something, right? Check that out.
I think, yeah, it's fantastic. It's such a good movie. It's so Halloween-y.
Manton.
Now that I'm on the spot, I was gonna try and think of something, you know, that I didn't say last time, but I'm gonna go ahead and say Evil Dead 2. We just watched it again.
Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Evil Dead 2 for sure is a popular one. Blister.
Same thing I said last week. Hocus Pocus makes me smile. I love it every time I watch it.
Right. Same thing for me. Of course, I always revisit Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street, classics like that. But if I were to give another one, I would say Insidious. of recent years, Insidious by James Wan. So, guys, thanks again for listening, and please fucking have a happy goddamn Halloween. This will be the last time you hear from us until the holiday.
Ever. We're done after
That's
this.
The last time you ever hear from us. No, until the holiday actually happens. We'll give you our hangover episode after that. We'll be really, really sad and depressed.
and hungover. We're
and hungover,
hungover,
probably.
It's a tradition.
We absolutely will be. It'll be the day after the party, so.
Right. But yeah, boy. Let's wrap it up, guys. Again, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Our website is horriblepodcast.com. We're on Patreon, email, Twitter. We've said all this shit before. Just more importantly, have a happy Halloween. Thanks for listening. On behalf of the Horrible Crew, stay spooky.
Ooh.
Keep it creepy.
Oh, creepy?
Yeah, that's definitely what I said.
Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters! If there's something weird